We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath sliding over. Freem's back on Monday. Gosh, I was just thinking about, you know, so Chuck's got the day off. Good for him.
Yeah.
It's a nice day. Hit some golf balls. He said he wanted to do 72 holes in 2 days, so he's going to be a busy man. I know he's going out to Crusher Fest this weekend, so he's going to be busy. Chuck should not be off today in the alternate universe. Chuck and I are in a cozy hotel room together in Oakland, broadcasting the show before game four of the NBA Finals. So as we talk about the Brewers, and we should, there's a lot to talk about, and we are right now, 414-799-1250. I mean, in the back of my head and almost in the front of my head, I don't know if you guys are over it, but I'm still thinking every single second that I speak, I'm thinking, we should be talking about game four, Bucks Warriors. We should be talking about it. We should be talking about how to exploit an OKD. We should be talking about Looney out. I mean, it sucks.
It's almost like when you break up with a girlfriend, and some days you wake up and you feel great. You got the whole world in front of you. There's plenty of fish in the sea. But like lately, I've been waking up and I'm depressed at just the way that it ended, because we were all so ecstatic and we were all making our plans, like you said, to be at Oracle Arena tonight. Well, you guys, I probably would have been back here, unfortunately, but you guys already had your plans. And then just like the way that it ended was so sudden. And the more I think about it, was so bizarre, because it got to a point where we weren't even talking basketball in the state of Milwaukee. We were like,
Drake?
What do the Bucks got to do to stop Drake? Like, nowhere in Golden State. Do you think anybody like with the Warriors organization or on sports talk radio in the Bay Area is like, what do we got to do tonight to get Drake out of the heads of our...
No, the Warriors...
How do we stop Drake?
They've taken it one step further. Their owners are trying to injure the players on Toronto.
Well, that's true. But it's so bizarre, man. A 60-win season, and it ended with us breaking down Drake's every move. Drake, of all people. Like, do you think in the 90s, like when the Knicks got knocked out of the playoffs, they were like, man, if just Ghostface Killah wasn't on the court, you know, if Biz Markie wasn't there getting in our players' heads, you know, Milli Vanilli really, really screwed us this series. Like, it got to the point where, like, Drake was the X factor in an Eastern Conference Finals series.
He was, though.
So say what you want, man.
He got the Bucks' heads.
90s basketball still reigns supreme in my eye, because it was what a weird way to end the season. Four straight losses. It's a team that didn't lose three straight all year. And they lose four straight. You lose one in Milwaukee, a huge game in Milwaukee, like, where
sucks.
You just don't ever lose at the Pfizer Forum. You know, the whole 1 year it's been in existence, and Drake was the X factor. Drake, Kyle Lowry, and Fred VanVleet ended the Bucks season. And
yeah.
That's what I can't get over.
I never will. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan again. Ryan Horvath sliding over, 414-799-1250. We'll talk about the NBA Finals a little later. Probably a lot of Brewers this hour. Bill Schmidt's going to join us from the big show, the postgame show, in about 25 minutes. Want to talk to you guys now about some of the moves that the Brewers maybe did not make this week. No Dallas Keuchel, he will be a Brave. No Craig Kimbrell, he will be a Cub. And then with that move, as we look right now, who's your favorite in the NL Central? Forget what you predicted. Forget what you thought in March. As of right now, who's the favorite in the NL Central? 799-1250. Artie's been on hold in Cudahy. Artie, well, we won't make you sweat any longer. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, like, I was looking to make an argument to convince me. I don't understand, like, I don't think it's a totally even playing field between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, but I don't really care about that either. The main thing that I'm thinking to myself is that, like, Stearns has never made a bad move. So, like, sometimes...
Well, scope. Can we do scope?
Yeah, Scope, yes. Okay. I would agree with that, Scope, sure. Though he did hit.
He had the right idea, though, with Scope, man.
Did he?
Yeah, Scope at Miller Park. I think even if it's a full season, it was all mental with Scope. I think it was the right move. I mean,
okay.
You were overstocked at one position. You didn't know where the hell you were going to play anybody, but it was the right move, in my opinion.
And at the end of the day, you won one big game for us, which obviously everything helped after for us to get to that moment. So I just think he's never made a bad move. I mean, yes, but I love those players on the team. Yes, absolutely. I think it's great. But for me, he's got a lot of store credit. I trust what he's doing. Obviously, we have to do something. I believe he will. But for me, I'm just not in the spot where, like, I feel like if we get a Craig Krimble, and, like, he may not want to come to Milwaukee. If I'm a player and I can go where I want, I probably want to go to the Cubs, too. So I think that's part of what we're fighting as well. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Artie. And people in Stearns We Trust and Stearns Soldiers and all that, a lot of this, I'm not as much directing my, I guess, questioning to Stearns as I am Mark at Nazio. I mean, Stearns is a small market general manager, so he doesn't have the same luxuries as the Cubs, the Yankees, the Red Sox and stuff. So he's ultimately, if he's going to go and sign Kimbrel, if Kimbrel's like, yeah, I'll come.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to get the, you know, approval of the check writer, which is Mark Attanasio. And if the budget's $126 million, if that's where the payroll is, again, we don't know what the budget, we don't know what he will spend on.
Mm-hmm.
Got this message here on Facebook. Stan says, if Stearns and Council thought Kimbrel or Keiko would assure the Brewers a World Series, they would be here.
But Do you think Council has that say, though? I'm sure he would have brought in either. Like, do you think he likes making the decision? Do I start Freddy Peralta or, you know, do I use somebody out of my bullpen? Last season, do you think he's thinking, do I want to start Xavier Cedeno today? I think that he would bring in everybody if he could. He doesn't get to bring out his checkbook, though.
Here's Craig Counsell yesterday. We'll try to read between the lines. Bill Michaels asked Craig Counsell on the Bill Michaels show about Kimbrel.
Craig Kimbrel's a good player, so I think every team, you know, wants to add good players, and we'll certainly be on the lookout to add players as we move forward and are every season. But there's also a price to pay for everything and a balance, and there's limited dollars, and we got to decide where to allocate those resources. So, you know, it's the decision that gets made, and you know, the Cubs got a good team. Before him, after him, we know they're going to be a big challenge. You know, we're looking forward to that challenge.
Sounds like someone's tinfoiling cookies behind.
It's like Ghost Rider's going out behind it. Yeah. And is Craig jamming out like on the way to the ballpark?
Yeah, maybe that. I don't know.
Or is he in the clubhouse with the music playing?
So obviously, Council knows Craig Kimbrel is good,
right?
And I think that, you know, he would want him in any situation. But I don't...
Him or Keuchel. I mean, a 31-year-old, you know, pitcher that's pitched in the postseason and won a World Series. Both guys. That's who I want to hand the ball to, though. And I'm sure Craig would rather hand them the ball than Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta, pretty much anybody in that rotation.
All right, so right now, I believe the last time I checked the Vegas odds, they were pretty close. Obviously, that was before the Craig Kimbrel signing.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite in the NL Central, Horvat, is who?
I'm going to have to say right now, before the season, I predicted the Brewers to go to the World Series.
I said they're the better team. They've got the better roster. They've got the better front office. That's what I said.
I also remember saying that two predictions that could come true. Moustakas was going to hit 40 home runs with the full season at Miller
Which
Park.
I
We're halfway
and
there. You guys
laughed
all laughed at me.
That.
Tim Allen, who...
I had people on Twitter. I was...
You guys all ripped me for it, but he's halfway there. A full season at Miller Park. Guy's a stud.
Basically, just don't listen to me. I'm wrong.
Moustakas, stud. But I also said that I thought that the Cardinals, I got too into the Pecota thing, man. I thought the Cardinals were going to end up being the bigger threat in the Central than the Cubs. I thought this bullpen was crap.
I got too into their pitching.
Yeah, I thought the bullpen was crap.
So bad?
Like, you know, and John Lester, obviously a year older, but we've been saying that now for 4 to 5 years. Kyle Hendricks, a stud, but they paid him, so I thought maybe he'd get a little bit more comfortable. Quintana, you didn't know. But right now, I have to say the Chicago Cubs are the favorite to win the Central, not only because of the Craig Kimbrel move, which we don't really know what Craig Kimbrel's going to look like. The last we saw of Craig Kimbrel, I'm doing the challenge here. Craig Kimbrel.
I hate
Craig
that his name is so hard to say.
But the last we saw of him, the last we saw of him, he couldn't throw strikes and he was tipping his pitches in a World Series game. We said the same thing about Yu Darvish, and he was brutal last year. He couldn't even finish the season. He couldn't throw strikes. He couldn't get out of the third inning, and he was tipping his pitches. And that was the same knock on Kimbrel last season, in the postseason. But still, I have to give the Cubs the lean here, and I have to say they're the favorites in the NL Central because if he's halfway as good as he's been in his career, he's probably a top five closer all-time in Major League Baseball history. And yesterday, you and Freems had David Kaplan on from all over in Chicago, guys on literally every media outlet. But he said not only do they sign Craig Kimbrel, but with Zobrist going away on divorce leave or whatever you want to call that with his personal issues, they also now have the luxury and the money, I guess, to bring in another arm in that bullpen, preferably a lefty. So then you're looking at these other names out there, and you're like, so not only are the Cubs adding a dominant closer, but they're going to add another lefty? So now they're able to pick their matchups. You don't have to see Carl Edwards Jr., who's been terrible. Well, they could get rid of him.
Will Smith.
Will Smith. There you go.
Former Brewer.
So,
but when we had Robert Murray on, he said Will Smith, you know, as a possibility too.
And so that's why.
So now you've got the two teams bidding against each other instead of where you were bidding with dollars.
Yeah.
Now you're bidding with prospects. And ultimately, what's going to be a bigger hindrance to your team in the future? Is it the dollars, which we think there's a budget, but we truly don't know? Or is it the prospects, tangible talent that you may have to lose?
Yeah, so it makes not only the Cubs bullpen by adding a lefty and adding Kimbrel, but you get to now pick and choose where you use Pedro Strop because you never know what you're going to get with him. And then they have a lot of good young arms, the Cubs do, so they can now move
them.
Seem
to know a lot about the Cubs.
And so what I'm saying here is, well, we could talk Cardinals too, but I just don't think they're as big of a threat right now. I mean, Andrew Miller, though, has looked pretty good the way that they're using him, and they do pick up a nice win yesterday, and I win a little bit of money off of it. But real quick,
John,
what I'm saying.
John Gant has been my fantasy guy.
But John Gant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he pitches like the sixth and seventh inning, and then sometimes the ninth, and like one day he'll get you a win, one day he'll get you a save, he gets three Ks, he's the best.
Those are the best guys for fantasy. Yeah. My commissioner is trying to limit like the way I use some of my guys, and that's what I do love about Major League Baseball today. But what I'm saying is, okay, so not only, this is why the Cubs are my pick to win the Central, because not only does the bullpen get better with Kimbrel and the mystery opponent to be named later, the lefty out of the bullpen, but it makes that rotation so much better because already Kyle Hendricks, he's going to be a contender for a Cy Young probably this year. He's going out and get you like 7 to 8 innings. He's on fire right now. Lester had like his 4 to 5 bad starts, so he got those out of the way. You know what he is towards the end of the year. Quintana's the wild card, but for some reason, minus one start, he owns the Brewers. You get to pick and choose where you use Cole Hamels. He probably won't even start in the postseason this year, and he's been lights out. So I feel like they have to be the favorite right now just because of the move. We'll see if the Brewers are able to do something. Right now, I'm trying to bring in Will Smith, or I'm just trying to block the Cubs from making any more moves, or the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, and I said this on the roundtable last week, I said every team in the NL Central, including probably the Pirates and the Reds, are going to win 7 to 8, 9, 10. They'll go on this big streak, and all the contenders will probably lose 6 to 7, and the fan bases will flip out. Like the Brewers will probably go on an 8-game losing streak. The Cubs will do the same. I think that the parity in the National League, especially in the Central, is crazier than ever. I think every team could compete. I mean, you used to be able to circle on the calendar the Pirates and the Reds and say, okay, here's three easy wins here. Here's
Can't
three
do that
easy
now.
Wins
do that
here.
This weekend.
Cubs are in Minnesota this week. You know, the Cubs are in St. Louis. Let's pick up 3 to 4 against the Pirates. You can't even do that anymore because even these teams have guys that can hit. They have young pitchers. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that the Cubs made the right moves.
Cubs and Brewers right now in first place. Who's the favorite? 414-799-1250. It's a virtual tie. Cubs have the percentage point, but they are both in first place. The Cardinals 2.5 back, Pittsburgh 4 behind, and then the Reds trail by 6. Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. Ryan Horvath over a chair. Hey, Father's Day coming up, and now is the time to start thinking about that. My wife asked me last night, what did you get your dad for Father's Day? And I said, oh, honey, I got something in the back pocket I always do, and that's Harry's. You want to give your dad a gift that he will like. You want to give your dad a gift that he'll actually use. And you want to give your dad a gift that's not going to break the bank. I mean, if my parents are like yours, they've said, all right, son, we don't need gifts anymore. No more gifts. We just want to make sure that, you know, okay, but you still send him something. But again, don't like buy him a new house. You know, don't break the bank here. Get him something thoughtful. That's what counts. Harry's Razors can be that thing. They've got a special offer for Father's Day as well. Get $5 off their shave set and treat yourself or the dad in your life. So, I mean, buy this for yourself too, man. This is a good deal. 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. Use the code BART at harrys.com. Love using Harry's. I've been using it. I used it again this week. Cleaned up the neck area of my beautiful face. No scars, no scuffs. You know, some of these other razors I've used, it looks pretty bad after I take a shave to it because the blades are no good. But with Harry's, they have made sure that that is not the case. Real top-notch quality blades, and now hook your dad up with those. Again, this Father's Day, get $5 off the shave set Harry's. Go to code, use the code BART at harrys.com and get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 and free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. Harrys.com, code BART. We're going to do a little Big Show Meets the Morning Show in about 15 minutes. Billy Schmidt's going to join us, but we've got plenty of time for you. 414-799-1250. The Cubs or the Brewers, the favorite in the NL Central after the Craig Kimbrel signing. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
So this isn't about winning. This isn't about putting the best product on the field for David Stearns and the Brewers. This isn't about winning. This is about hoping, and that's all you're doing at this point, Brewers. You're hoping and wishing upon a star that somehow or another, Travis Schoff learns how to hit the baseball again. You're hoping and wishing upon a star that Jesus Aguilar learns how to hit the baseball again. That's what you're doing right now. We know Keston Hiura can hit the baseball. We've all been watching it. But you know what? He's doing a little too good. We're going to put him down there and let the vet have another chance at this bad boy now. Because it's not about now. It's about the future. So, Keston, dude, we know you did your job, but it's not about that in Milwaukee. It's about
Keston,
the fact that you got options,
good.
So you get screwed in this deal. So down you go.
That's
exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wendy's Big Show earlier this week. He's using that H word, hope. Yeah, okay, Steve. I don't know if I've ever agreed with Stevie Moore. Brewers are doing a lot of hoping, it seems. They've got a team that I think, if everything goes right, could win the World Series.
I agree.
But there's too much if, and there's too much hope. And so right now, if we're going to say who's the favorite in the Central, well, I mean, the Cubs had a problem in the bullpen. They addressed it. They got Craig Kimbrel. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. I would say the Cubs at this point, with the teams being tied, I would put them as the favorite in the NL Central. 414-799-1250. Ryan Horvat, I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck back Monday. John in Franklin never takes a day off. What's up, Johnny?
Boys, I am so with Sparky. And I got to tell you, sometimes I come on here and I give some comments and I feel like my takes are mischaracterized to a point.
By me?
You know, yeah, sometimes.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes, Chuck. But, you know, like I made a comment about the Keston Hiura thing. And, you know, I didn't blame the whole debacle with the Marlins on that. But, you know, we talk about, you know, I heard takes about, oh, well, we got to give Travis Shaw every benefit of the doubt. And you got to give the veterans the benefit of the doubt because they're veterans. And if you want other veterans to come in as free agents, you have to treat them that way. Well, I wonder what the veterans on the club that are producing, I wonder what's going through their mind when they see a productive player pulled out of the lineup and another and a player. I'm sorry, Travis Shaw, best case scenario, is a platoon player. And you're going to rearrange your whole infield to bring in a guy that cannot hit the Cubs because guess what? The Cubs throw lefties at you. Okay? This is a reality, and it's not going to change. If you don't believe me, look up the splits on Travis Shaw, even when he was producing. He can wail on the right-handers. He cannot hit for power against left-handers. He's like a pitcher. Okay, so we're going to compete against the Cubs. No, the Cubs have the upper hand on us. Obviously, they have the upper hand on us with money. There's nothing we can do about that. Of course, we have to go about things a different way. I didn't want them to go into this season chasing a $200 million starter, Kershaw or something like that. Look, I'm not foolish, but I felt they were reckless to approach a season where we're supposedly trying to get back to the World Series or the brink of it with the starting rotation that they were rolling out. There was an exodus of pitching in the offseason, okay? Not to mention the pitching coach. I mean, the whole thing was a debacle before the season even started. Then Knebel gets hurt. And as a season ticket holder, I felt it was reckless the way the Brewers approached it, but I tried to give them the benefit of the doubt because I wanted to see what their fallback position would be. Because you had to think, okay, we're gambling on all these young guys. What are you thinking? Two of the three are going to work out good or whatever? What was their fallback position? Don't tell me the fallback position was Jimmy Nelson coming back, because that was folly. I want him to come back. I love Jimmy Nelson. But there was no way you could count on something from him with the depth of the injury he had. And we still don't know what's going to happen or not going to happen with that. But I'm upset at the team because when the wheels started falling off the wagon, you still have a successful lineup and you're still above 500. You're still in the thick of this thing, but it's going to slip away. You mark my word, unless they stabilize the starting rotation for starters.
I don't think there's any way to mischaracterize that, Johnny. That's a good call, bud.
You know, Keuchel was out there for a reachable amount of money, unless he didn't want to come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and then he ended up signing John. That's why he's a Barkauer standings champion. He ended up signing it's a $21 million deal, but it's prorated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can't just sign him for the 13 that it is or whatever. But so Dallas Keuchel signs with the Braves. If you're just waking up to that news, and then Craig Kimbrell, obviously, with the Cubs this week. Who is the favorite in the division? We go to some of the answers on Facebook. Michael says the Cubs, they're filling the holes that held them back. Brewers are on the cusp of something, but don't seem to care to round it out. When they did fill a hole in the run production problem, they decided to go back to what didn't work. So that's the Hira Shaw thing.
Mm-hmm.
Won't even talk about that bullpen. Corey says Cubs right now because of the Kimbrel signing. Stearns did put together a championship team last year. I still believe the Brewers will counter, just not right away, and I'd still give it to the Cubs. Robin says, hate to say it, but the Cubs, at least until we address our starting pitching, our bullpen, and our first base situation.
You know, I almost feel bad, like, with this whole situation sometimes for Craig Counsell, because I think he's a great manager, and I think for the most part we all do. But every once in a while, I feel like he gets judged on something that he has no control over. And we get some phone calls, and we get some social media reaction that's negative towards Craig Counsell. And I think by not adding another arm, it makes his job that much tougher. Like, he's been so good at picking where he uses his guys. I know that we all argue about how you should use Josh Hader, but in a big series, the Cubs can't hit Josh Hader, minus Anthony Rizzo. He's the only guy that could even make contact. You know, the Cardinals. And it's kind of the same story. And so I feel like it makes his job that much tougher because he has to choose when he uses Josh Hader, when he uses Jeffress. Not that every manager doesn't have to do that, but I just feel like he has to do that more than anybody. He has to be like, manage the game just more than any other manager out there because he doesn't have guys in set roles like a setup man, a closer, this, that.
Ryan Horvat here for Frames today. Chuck has the day off, and we are getting live updates from Steven Newsman, the reporter that covers Chuck Freeman that we've employed on staff. We've got another one from Steven Newsman, so we'll go to him now here on The Fan.
This is Steven Newsman with another Chuck Freeman Day Off update. Chuck recently rolled out of bed, morning wood fully intact, and walked straight over to his grill, nearly knocking it over in the process as he carelessly allowed Little Freemsy to sway about in the wind. Soon after, Chuck's sleep-talking became reality as he prepared the breakfast of champions with some Robert's ribs on a stick, some chicken skewers with the Door County cherry flavor, and 5 half-pound beef brisket burgers. After all, as Chuck tells his loyal listeners, you can't go for the measly third-pounders. That is a lot of food, but Chuck is a lot of man. After Chuck downs what some might call enough food to last a week, I'll report back with what Chuck is up to next on his big day off. We've got more to come. This is Steven Newsman, Channel 4.
So now you've got that mental image in your brain.
Yeah, I'm going to have to explain to my 5-year-old today because it's summertime, so he's listening.
Oh, shoot.
What morning wood is.
I figured most people were at off school, so that wouldn't be okay, but
it's coffee, pal.
Yeah, it's coffee. It's Chuck and Winkler. Billy Schmidt will join us next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck Freeman back Monday. Ryan Horvath over a slot. Nick Bodie here as well. Your chance to win Summerfest tickets today. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Use the hashtag CWTickets. If you could cover any event or have an all-access pass to any sporting event, whether it's the World Series or the Super Bowl or the Olympics, or a lot of people are chiming in with WrestleMania.
What about the AVN Awards in Las Vegas?
Is that porn?
Is it?
Sure. Any sporting event, if you consider that a sport. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan, and you can win some Summerfest tickets. Use the hashtag CWTickets. This guy's been covering the Brewers for a while, and I've been listening to this Brewer postgame show that we've had on The Fan for a long, long time, and I think Bill Schmidt's doing a great job on it. I obviously love Tim Allen and think the world of him. There's one thing that happens on this postgame show, Billy, that drives me nuts. It's the one thing that Tim does that drives me nuts, and he did it again last night after the game. When he says that the Brewers should retire number 10 for the fans,
Oh my God.
I want to jump through the radio. And we'll see Tim later today, so I'll yell at him for this in person.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to retire the number 10 for the fans because, you know, there's nine positions that play in baseball. Retire 10 for the fans. I don't know what that would help anybody. So I was yelling at my radio listening to you guys yesterday.
Well, he believes that it will signify the importance of Brewers fans to the organization. Aw, isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? Who cares? Now, the best one is, Bart, now this will really get under your skin, because I think the whole idea is stupid in its own right. The 12th man out in Seattle. Cool. You guys are loud. Awesome. Do you want a trophy? No, instead we want jerseys with fan on the back of it, the number 12. All right, so here's the deal. Minnesota Wild, they start up a hockey team in the NHL. Now, I'll give you guys some breaking news. I know you guys aren't huge hockey guys. They start the team maybe 15 years ago. Opening night, Bart, what do? They have a jersey retirement ceremony for the number one for the Minnesota Wild fans. They could have been the worst fans in all of sports. Who knows? They hadn't won anything. They could have been the Philadelphia Phillies fans throwing stuff on the ice for all they know.
Dude, the Seattle thing. Whatever. They retire the number 12. You know darn sure that if any Seahawk ever wanted to wear number 12, they wouldn't let them because it's for the fans, right?
No chance.
But when when 40-year-old Jerry Rice strolls into Seattle and wants to play a year, Steve Largent wears number 80, and Rice is like, I want to wear 80. And so the Seahawks have to go to Largent and like, please, we really want right, and he let him.
I feel like
so you can wear Steve Large's number and not the number for hipster Seattle fan.
But if you have to, I feel like they could unretire it.
Unretiring numbers is stupid.
If you're going to do it and you're going to retire the number 80 and then you're going to take it out of retirement, Jerry Rice, at least catch 80 balls. Oh, it was like Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards. Sorry.
Yeah, it was stupid. All right, we've been talking about the Brewers, obviously. And where they kind of rank here with the Cubs is the Cubs make a move this week. The Brewers, I mean, they made their own move. They sent Keston Hira down for Travis Shaw again. And that, I know you guys were a little fired up on the big show this week. We've been fired up about it here on the show. When you look at the two moves and everything that's going on, right now, do you still put the Brewers as the favorite in the NL Central, or do you have to go with the Cubs?
It's tough for me, man. It's really tough. I thought the Cubs were possibly and arguably the better team all year long. I thought the Brewers were, talent-wise, in the lineup, guys, 1 through 8, hard-pressed to find any team in baseball that's going to have a better 1 through 8 than the Milwaukee Brewers. No doubt about that. But when you're starting the regular season with 3/5 of your starting rotation being guys that have never done it for a full year in the big leagues, that's a gamble that all three of us, I know we like to put a little bit of money down on the table, none of us would have backed. I don't believe any of us, if we're sitting at the table, would have backed that up with odds, that all three of those guys were going to find full season prolonged success in the starting rotation at that point. And it, for that same reason, I thought the Cubs were going to be maybe 2 games better in the division. Maybe the Cardinals would be 2 games better in the division. But this division is shaping up, more importantly, exactly how I expected it. Everybody is clumped up tighter than any other division you're going to find in baseball. And for the Brewers, you get 9 games here in the next month and a half, month and some change, before the All-Star break. 9 against the Pirates, 7 against the Reds. Every other division, you're thinking, okay, we can get fat against those two teams at the bottom of the league. And instead, you're looking at the Reds. They're only 6 games back of first place. So when Keston Hira goes down for Travis Shaw, guys, I think this baseball team is better when Travis Shaw, it's at its best when Travis Shaw is in the middle of the lineup. He's hitting 4, he's hitting 5, he's hitting home runs, he's hitting 260. But at the exact moment, the reason why it's so divisive, is because Travis Shaw had really not shown us that he had broken out in the minors. And now he's going to be able to have the opportunity to show us that he's changed something in his swing, changed something in his approach right away at the big league level. If you look at Robert Murray, had a cool article about it at The Athletic a couple of days ago. And he wrote about Mike Moustakas and the prolonged struggles that Moose had back in 2014. And he was right around the same time of service time as Travis Shaw is at this point. And Moose had to go down. Moose was only down for 8 games, I believe it was. It was about the appropriate amount of time that you're really going to send a guy of Travis Shaw's run in the last 2 years down, knowing that he's going to come up after an injury and give him 150 at-bats to see where he can be at and see where he's at right now.
Bill, if you're making the decisions and you want to build the perfect team to compete here and, you know, for a pennant down the stretch, would you add a reliever, a lefty out of the bullpen like a Will Smith, or would you, you know, you brought up the starting rotation and how you can't really trust any of these guys. I mean, a lot of them are pretty young, so when you get to postseason baseball, you want a guy that could go out there, get you 7 to 8 innings, like a Madison Bumgarner, if his name's out there, which we don't even know if it will be come deadline time. So would you rather add to the pen a lefty like Will Smith or add another starter?
Orby, I want Mad Bum. I don't know. And I've crossed this bridge a few different times where I don't necessarily believe you need the guy that's won in the postseason to then go and win in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But it damn sure makes it easier.
Right.
All I know is I watched the L.A. Dodgers last year with guys that had been there in the rotation, Kershaw, Hill, name another one, Jansen had pitched in those big spots. And then they had one young dude in Walker Buehler who arguably was the best one out of all of them, but you didn't have to count on 3/5 of that.
Right.
You had a couple of guys that were at the front of it that would be able to take you one game if you needed. Madison Bumgarner, I don't know what's going on with that dude. I don't know if he wants to pitch in the postseason. I don't know if he wants to stay in San Francisco. His no-trade teams of the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, Brewers, Cubs, whatever it was, the 3 other ones. He obviously doesn't want to leave at this moment. Or maybe he was pandering to the fan base of saying, hey, guys, I want an extension. They're not going to give me one. I'll look like the good guy saying I'm doing everything I can to stay here in San Francisco. They trade me. If they're able to make a move like that, guys, that's a dude that is bona fide postseason success, not experience success. There's a difference between going to the playoffs year in and year out and getting worked. Like, look at the Washington Nationals. Yeah, they had some postseason experience.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten postseason experience of getting bounced in the first round 3 straight years. So there's a difference between having postseason success and experience. Madison Bumgarner gives you a guy that goes onto the mound, game 1 of the NLCS, spitting seeds, kicking dirt, and kicking ass and taking names. I think that's a dude that you can count on 3 times in a series if need be. If you're able to get a deal like that done, I think that takes it off the sheet out of any other position.
And what you're saying there has been exactly my point when I talk about this, because a guy like Madison Bumgarner is huge for the clubhouse. And I know that's so cliche, but he's been there, he's done that. And you don't need all that, like you said. But also, like, he intimidates the umpire. When he's out there and he's spitting seeds, like you said, like, he's in the umpire's head almost. And I just feel like when you have an ace like that, you set yourself up and you're in some good position. We keep talking about pitching and the bullpen and the starting rotation, but you're getting nothing offensively from Jesus. Would you be surprised, like, I keep talking deadline, and I know we're ways away, but when you look at this team and you look at the moves that the Cubs are making and what the Cardinals did in the offseason, would you be surprised if the Brewers maybe tried to add another bat when you're getting 0 offensively from Shaw and Zeus, but you do got a guy like Keston Hira, obviously, who you could bring back up, but I still feel like you need another bat in that lineup, too.
I wouldn't be surprised. I guess that's the best way to put it. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and grabbed a veteran bat like a Curtis Granderson. who's a bench guy who's been there before, done that before. To kind of wrap up with what you were just saying, Ryan, about the starting pitching, guys, look at what Justin Verlander has done in Houston. I understand he was in a different situation. He had years on his contract when he was traded in the waiver period of 2017, the waiver period that no longer exists, the former August 31st trade date. But everybody looked at us like we were crazy, saying that, dude, if the Brewers are able to go and get Justin Verlander right now at 3 years, $67 million left on the deal or whatever it was, you have him for a couple of years that your teammates look at that guy coming to the clubhouse and say, dude, we're for real. That Justin Verlander, that guy's got two Cy Youngs. Mm-hmm. Madison Bumgarner, that guy's got a World Series MVP, a Cy Young. I've seen him slam six beers on TV with Tim McCarver standing right next to him. That guy's legit. And it makes you a different ball club from a mindset standpoint, similar to certain bats can. Like J.D. Martinez a couple of years ago, he was that lightning rod for the Diamondbacks when they made that move. I could definitely see the Brewers going and getting a bat. Do I think it's going to be start of the line, top of the line, first base bat? I probably think that they look at either Shaw, Aguilar, Thames guys, a 380 on base is an awful 850 OPS from Eric Thames. I know you wanted something a little bit more in the power department, but Yasmani Grandal can also play first base. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's opportunities that they're going to do with that at first. And ultimately, if this would were to continue, yes, Ryan, you're right. Hira's going to come back, play second base. Mike Moustakas is going to go over and play third base. He did have two home runs yesterday while he was lining up at third. Obviously seems comfortable when he's in the lineup over there. And then you grip it and rip it from there and see how far you can go.
Billy, where are you? Billy Schmidt, Big Show, post-game show. You'll hear him this weekend on The Fan, of course. Big Show 2 to 6, you know that, obviously. With the money argument, because here's where I look at with Craig Kimbrell to go back to that. You look at the Brewers and their payroll is about $125 million. And what the Brewers say is, hey, this is the highest payroll we've ever had, okay? And I think what that gets interpreted by people is, this is the amount that we can spend and there's no more. But they're not saying that. What they're saying is, this is the highest payroll we've ever had. I still think that if the Brewers wanted to, I mean, they could pay more. There's clearly nothing them stopping them in the baseball rules. And the Brewers are not a business that doesn't make a profit. So I think that there's more money to spend. The thing with Kimbrell, and if you're like, well, let's, you know, I don't need Craig Kimbrell. I want to get someone like Will Smith or one of these other relievers. I think it's easier for a baseball team like the Brewers to maybe just spend a little more money this week than dig into their farm system and give up prospects. Because ultimately, I think the Brewers can recoup that money. It's going to be harder for them to recoup some of the prospects. Do you buy the argument from people that the Brewers didn't get Craig Kimbrell because they don't have the money to spend?
I think money was a major factor in the reason why the Brewers weren't interested or as interested as some people believe they were in Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell. I think that money is one of the things that we all know it makes the world go round. But when you're making decisions for this baseball team, you really do have to factor it in because you can't screw up. You can't miss on multiple contracts because that hamstrings your team to where you have to start Randy Wolf for the rest of his third year in a three-year, $30 million contract. Or Kyle Loesch for when you had to keep him in the rotation. We got to give him another shot, guys. He's been in the rotation. We got to give him one more chance to see if he can recapture what he had. Because you really can't leave $12.5 million just chilling on the bench. Look at Eric Thames, guys. They're paying him $6, $7 million, and they're putting him on the bench. That's an uncomfortable situation for the Milwaukee Brewers to be in. And, Bart, I totally agree with you. The Brewers make money. Mark Antanasio makes money on this baseball team. He has since he bought the team. Look at what the expected growth is of what the value is at this point. He paid like $280 million for the team, $220-some million for the team. Forbes ranked them over $1 billion last year in net worth. They're worth a lot of money. They're an extremely profitable franchise for a team in Major League Baseball that's everything is down, attendance is down, TV ratings are down. Look at the Brewers, guys. TV ratings just came out on the Business Journal this week. They were up in the month.
Oh, wow. You have $300 to pay for a month subscription to that site?
No, I just use it like my Athletic website where I just use yours. But where you're able to, at that point, go into a Bucks run that was supposed to take all this attention away from the Brewers, and their TV deal was better. Their TV viewership was higher. Their attendance is on pace to be over 3 million, well over 3 million. So they're going to make money. If you're going to tell me that's why you can't make a move, stop it. If you didn't believe that Craig Kimbrel was the pitcher that he was 3 years ago, and you didn't think he was worth $16 million for 2 years after a prorated $10 million for this year, okay, cool. I can get down with that. And frankly, guys, I'm not positive that he is.
Find me someone with the Business Journal password, because if I want the Journal, it's like, you know, affordable. If I want some of these other pay sites, it's affordable. I tried to read a Business Journal article the other day. Hey, give us $250 for the year. Whoa! There's not even like free articles that you can do. No, it's like, geez.
No, they don't even give you a little taster with a freebie, like four free articles. No, let's pay at this window.
My God.
My money goes towards other websites.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm interested in Milwaukee.
I heard the conversation that you had, Horvath, before. WrestleMania would probably be a close second to me to the AVN Awards.
Yeah, the AVN, they're a must-go. They have like a special every once in a while. And they
Are you watching Super Showdown today?
No, I will be doing the big show. And I'm actually kind of glad that I'm not watching it, Bart, because
Blood Money.
It's more just laughable at this point.
And, well, it's going to suck. I'll be home, though. I'll be
I got to watch Goldberg and Undertaker.
Why? It's going to suck. All right, Billy. We love you. See ya.
All right, boys.
Oh, hey, don't be offended when we tweeted that you're coming on, we put a gif up of the Kool-Aid man bursting through a door.
Oh, yeah.
See ya, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Bill Schmidt.
Hey, could you hit me with, do we have time for a breaking news or no?
Oh, sure. Like a big time one?
Oh, it's big time, baby.
Check this out.
This is breaking news from 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is important information.
Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
What do you got for me, Dom?
Ryan Horvath reporting live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Rays have released veteran catcher Eric Kratz following last week's DFA. Per the league transaction log over at MLB.com, Kratz, 38 years old, has appeared in a combined 21 games. He now has the opportunity to sign with any club he chooses. Now, 414-799-1250, would you welcome Eric Kratz back to the Brewers?
Is Eric Kratz the missing piece to topple the Cubs?
Hey, you know what? He is a good clubhouse guy, man. And I was listening to the Cubs broadcast a couple weeks ago because they're on ESPN every night. And they were like, man, this Cubs team, you know, as good as they are and as much talent as they have, they haven't been the same since they lost David Ross.
Kratz is going to be a Cub, dude.
David Ross. So I'm saying you got to No. No. You think so? I don't think he would do it.
Bring him back here as a coach.
You may need to bring him back. Yeah. I don't know.
He's been with two teams already this season. I guess three if you count the Brewers.
He's awful, but, I mean, Brewer legend, Eric Kratz.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We're going to check in with Andy Herman on Twitter at Scotty Sports, CheeseheadTV.com. Find out what's going on with the Packers, because there's a lot of buzz about what this offense could look like.
I'm worried about something, too.
You talked to some... You're worried?
There's something that I saw yesterday that scared me.
LaFleur hurt his other leg?
Worse.
Oh, God. All right. It's Chuck and Winkler, Horvey in for Freems. Talk some Packers next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.